Shammai, thank you to the Millers. It's really very exciting to me here this morning. It's obviously quite long overdue, although I do live in a different neighborhood, which is in a different Eruv, which is, I think, even in a different zip code. So it's a great opportunity to meet, for me to be able to drive down during the week and be here with you. It's a special pleasure to be sitting and learning with, right across from me, the Mora d'Asra, Rabbi Prero. Those of you who daven in this shul regularly, you are extremely privileged. You should just remember that. Don't forget that. And that is your privilege to have an exceptional Mora d'Asra, who is, I consider, one of my mentors here in the community. And it's a privilege for me when I have the opportunity to spend some time with him and to learn from his wisdom. So I'm excited to learn with you this morning. I hope everybody has a packet. As is the minhag, I try to usually put down a bulk of the sources so you can take them with you. Feel free to share them afterwards with friends and enemies as you see fit. One thing I do ask, there is a sheet which is right here, which is floating around, which has a sign-up. The pen is right here. Doc, do you want to maybe pass it over so people can get the complimentary pen? If you could just sign in, this way we can keep in touch, know who's here, who's coming, and there's a list of shiurim which is there. You can take it with you afterwards. So I'd like to speak this morning about chesed. And feel free to keep enjoying your delicious, beautiful breakfast. So I want to begin and end with a story, just like the Medrash says that the Torah itself does. The Torah begins with chesed and concludes with chesed. And there's a story, a great story, about the great Remeir Premishlaner. The holy Premishlaner, Remeir Premishlan, was a great Hasidic master, but also was known as an unusually charitable man. He was the Rebbe of many Hasidim, but basically didn't even have a penny in his pocket to pay for his own household needs, because anytime people would come, he would immediately disperse the funds to the poor. And he was asked, why is it that he's so unusually lavish with his tzedakah? So Meir Premishlaner said, I'll tell you, imagine the following story. A man comes up to the Ribono Shel Olam, to heaven, after 120 years, and he's standing at the gates. And he wants to know if he will be admitted in the Olam HaEmes. So the angels who are standing at the gate, they look at him, they say, so on what merit are you going to come in here? And he says, you know, I went to shul, and I davened every single day. So the angels said, okay, so let's take a look. How did you daven? So they look down very carefully, they scrutinize the man's davening throughout his life, and they say, buddy, for this, you're not getting Gan Eden. You're going to get Gehenna for this davening. You know, you think you're going to Gan Eden. He says, forget about it. The next guy shows up, and he says, you know, can you let me into the gates? And they say, wait a second. On what merit are you going to go in the gates? So he says, I study Torah on a regular basis. So they look down very carefully. They scrutinize his Torah study. They say, it's pretty shvach. I don't know if you're going to get Gan Eden for this either. A lot of bittul Torah in the middle of the limud. You're not getting Gan Eden for this so fast. A third guy goes to the gates. He says, after 120, he says to the holy angels, he says, will you open the gates? So they say, on what merit are you going through the gates? So he says to them, you know, I used to do chesed. So the Premishlaner says, they open the gates wide open, and the man walks right in. The quality of chesed is a transformative quality. It's different than anything else in the world. So I'd like to share with you a few thoughts. And unfortunately, this is not a shiur. This is not a finished shiur, because it's really a work in progress. And I welcome comments and thoughts as we go along. It's something that I would like you to consider, and maybe we can all build on together. So let's begin on page 1 with a source which is known to us. And maybe we didn't step back to think about it so much. In the beginning of the Shemoneh Esrei, we have a group of brachos. Every Shemoneh Esrei begins and ends with a specific set of brachos. It's like a sandwich. You have the front end, you have the bread on the bottom, then you have the bread on the top, and you have something in the middle. So every Shemoneh Esrei begins with three brachos, Avos, Gvuros, and Kedushas Hashem. It concludes with the brachos of Avodah Hodah and Shalom. So if you were to look at the first brachos, we begin Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak v'Elokei Yaakov, which makes a lot of sense. The brach of Avos, where we invoke the memory of our forefathers, and obviously, as many point out, this is a matir, this is somehow an entry to begin to pray, because who gives us the right to approach the Ribono Shel Olam? Well, if Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov did it, so it's good for them, it's good for us. But what's interesting to me, and someone only brought this to my attention recently, is that when we conclude the bracha of Avos, it concludes, Baruch Ato Hashem, Magen Avraham. Which is peculiar, because what I'd like to do is take a look at some of these sources from a fresh perspective. I've been doing this for years, 20 plus years, saying these brachas, but I never stopped to think, why is it Magen Avraham? It should have been Magen Avos. That's what we say Friday night, Magen Avos Vidvaro. It would have said, Baruch Ato Hashem, Magen Avos. Now, you could tell me that Magen Avraham is because Avraham was the first. But assumably, there's something more to being the chasima, which really encapsulates the essence of the bracha. There's more to this than just saying, oh, he was the first. So the first thing I'd like to put on the table is, why is it that the bracha begins, the Shemoneh Esrei begins with Magen Avraham? That is the bracha of Avos. Issue number one. Let's turn the page, issue number two. If you have been to a bris lately, you will note that there is a very unusual practice at the performance of a bris milah. Every bris milah is coupled with two brachos at the action, the maisa milah. One which is recited by the moel, the other one which is recited by the father, the avi ben. So the moel recites the standard brachos ha-mitzvah, asher kedishanu mitzvos v'tzivanu al ha-milah. But the father recites another bracha, an unusual bracha, which the rabbis have looked at very carefully, and that is bracketed off for you here. Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, to refresh our memory, Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvosa V'tzivanu, that he commanded us with his mitzvahs, and he commanded us L'hachniso B'vriso Shel Avram Avinu, to enter us into the covenant of Avram Avinu. So already this is an interesting formulation of a bracha, because on the one hand, it seems to be formulated as a birchas ha-mitzvah, and that's why it says, b'mitzvos v'tzivanu. So it sounds like a birchas ha-mitzvah. On the other hand, didn't we already have one birchas ha-mitzvah? So it sounds like there are multiple birchas ha-mitzvahs.
How could you define birchas ha-mitzvah?
Birchas ha-mitzvah means when we perform any commandment, we precede it with a bracha that sanctifies that mitzvah. So for example, before you take the lulav, you make a bracha, asher kedushanu, that you sanctified us with this opportunity to connect to Hashem b'mitzvosav, v'tzivanu, you commanded us to do such and such. So brachos precede mitzvos. There are several kinds of brachos. We know there are brachos hanenin, which is when you have a tuna fish sandwich, when you eat a bagel with lox, you make a bracha beforehand. But that's a different kind of bracha than what's called a birchas ha-mitzvah, which is a bracha that precedes every mitzvah. Then there's a third, and there might be a third category of brachos, which is called a birchas ha-shevach. When there's thunder outside, we recite a bracha to acknowledge Hashem's greatness. So that's a separate, that's not a birchas hanenin. No one's enjoying the thunder. Certainly not when it's raining in my basement. There's no nen in there over there. Then there's the birchas ha-mitzvah. There's no actual mitzvah being performed, but there is a birchas ha-shevach. So this bracha is a very peculiar bracha. At first it sounds like it's a birchas ha-mitzvah. On the other hand, what kind of a thing is it? Where exactly do you find that we are commanded to be entered into the Abraham's covenant? And what exactly is the briso shel Avraham Avinu? So I always thought that the briso shel Avram Avinu was the commandment of circumcision. Isn't that where we colloquially use the word bris? The word bris means a covenant. But colloquially, we say, oh, I have a bris tomorrow morning at 4:30 in the morning somewhere crazy. You know, I have to get up very early. Why it's a bris? A bris now, colloquially, is in the vernacular, is referring to a circumcision. But if you take a look in the next page, which is the Gemara in Ksubas, Daf Chesam Abeis, you will find a very interesting definition of what is Briso Shel Avram Avinu. Because this is a discussion, it's an unusual discussion, because the Tractate of Ksubas is talking mostly about marriage contracts. Yet right in the middle of the first parak of the Gemara discusses the practice of Nichum Avelim, comforting mourners. So in the times of the Talmud, they had quite a few different practices of comforting mourners, which, by the way, the Gemara describes as including various cups of wine, which is faded out of practice today, that's phased out by the Chazal. But originally, mourners actually used to drink a substantive amount of wine to help comfort them. It's just an interesting, strange observation. So the Gemara has a whole back and forth here of rabbis making pronouncements in the presence of mourners and their visitors. We know that Nicham Avelim is an important mitzvah of chesed. So says the Gemara, Amalei, bracket off on the bottom. Kum Ema Milsa Keneged Menachem Avelim. One of the Amoraim said to the other, why don't we stand up? You should say something to acknowledge, to address those who have come to be Menachem Avelim. So what did he say? V'amak. So he did. Pasach V'amar. He began and said, Achenu, our brothers, Gomle Chasadim B'nei Gomle Chasadim. Those who are Gomel Chesed, who perform kindness, the children, the descendants of those who perform kindness, Hamachzikim Bivriso Shel Avraham Avinu, who cling to the covenant of Avraham Avinu. It's not referring to circumcision. It's referring to Avraham, the patriarch of Chesed. So now, we are defining what is Brisa Shel Avraham Avinu Alpi, the Gemara. The Gemara is telling us that Brisa Shel Avraham Avinu means Chesed. Different yourselves whether or not you quote this pasuk, which we'll get back to. Achenu, he concludes his statement, Achenu Baal HaGamul, our brothers, the great Baal HaGamul, which is the Almighty, who repays, Yishalim Lachem Gamulchem, he should repay you for your kindness. Baruch Ata Mishalim HaGamul, blessed are you God, who repays the kindness. In this case, the kindness of those who visit the bereaved. So it struck me so interesting. What is this connection that we recite that there is a notion of a briso shel Avraham Avinu, which is somehow a complement of the notion of Nicham Avelim, of Chesed? It's not happenstance that the Gemara uses the term briso shel Avraham Avinu in the same way that when we refer to a bris, when we enter the child into the Abrahamic covenant, it's the same word, the same phrase, that it's Brisa Shel Avraham Avinu. So let's put that on the table as one more thing to consider. Let's take a look at page 4. We're now getting an inkling that Avraham Avinu was a Baal Chesed, and the Torah emphasizes this in many places. But I would say, if I were to ask you, if I were to take a survey, what is the most emphasized, the most clearly discernible aspect of Chesed, which is performed by Avraham Avinu, what would you say? What's that? Hachnas Hazorchim. Very good, thank you. That's clearly the defining character of Avraham Avinu in terms of Chesed, plays out in terms of Hachnas Hazorchim and welcoming guests. So most deliberately described in the Torah in the beginning of Parashas Vayera, which is on page 4, the Torah describes how Avraham Avinu was standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, you know, do me a favor, hang on, says the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Chav Zayin, Gedola Hachnos Asarchem Me HaKabolas Pnei Ashchina. It's greater to greet the guests, the Arab wayfarers who wandered through the door, than it is to speak to the Almighty Himself. So Avraham is defined as the Ish Chesed. The Medrash even takes this a step further when it comes to Hachnos Asarchem. Take a look on the next page. On page 5, we are told, right before the Akedah, Vayita Eshel Bever Sheva, Vayeshev Avraham Bever Sheva. That's, those of us who remember have the tune of the Yom HaNoraim in our ears. We can hear the laning. The end of the Aliyah, Avraham settles down, he dwells in Be'er Sheva, and he's Notea Eshel. He plants an Eshel, which when we're learning the Pshat of the Psukim seems pretty innocuous, not too much going on here. He plants a tree, that's fine. A lot of people plant trees. The JNF plants lots of trees. So like, what's going on? So the Medrash says, you know what, I'll tell you what he did. According to the first opinion, he planted a pardes. He planted a vineyard to Einim, Anovim, Rimonim, all different kinds of things. And he offered them, he didn't just plant it, he offered them to the people coming by. But the Gemara then has, the Medrash, has a very interesting other opportunity of understanding. Take a look on the top of the second column, third comment, third line, Reb Nechemya. What does Reb Nechemya interpret? An additional level of interpretation. Eshel, he says, Pundak. It was a hostel. Avram Avinu opened a hotel. And how did he utilize this hostel, this rest area? So I haven't had, you know, I've only lived in Illinois for about a year and a half. So I haven't had that much of an opportunity. I think I haven't been to southern or central Illinois yet, but I have been through many states on the way from the East Coast. So there, in the East Coast, they have, and even in Indiana, they have this type of thing. They have a thing called rest areas. If you come from the East Coast, if you ever go to the East Coast, the best rest areas on the East Coast are on the New Jersey Turnpike. Just so you should realize that. You should just know. If you ever get stuck, you want a good rest area, you should be in New Jersey. If you're in Pennsylvania, Ochenvei. Mamish, the rest areas are Gefährlich in Pennsylvania. I don't know what they're like in Illinois, but they're good. They're good in New Jersey. So Avraham Avinu opened the first ever rest area, the first rest stop. Now, how did he utilize it? It was makabel so over Shavim, when we saw oyo ochlim v'sholsim amar lon. When they would eat and drink, he would say to them, "Brichu, say a bracha." Vein omen, my name, what are we supposed to say? Va'amar lon, he would say to them, "Baruch kel olam she'achal nimishalom." Thank God. So he used the rest area as a place to promote monotheism. The Gemara has a parallel story. Hodu v'shimcha ubarchu l'misha amar v'hoya olam. People would come and he would say, "Don't thank me." They would say, "Thank you so much." The Gemara says, "Say, don't thank me. Hodu v'shimcha ubarchu l'misha amar v'hoya olam. Thank God. Don't thank me." So why is it? I don't know if we've ever stopped to think. Why is it that hachnosas orchim is what defines Avraham Avinu? Avraham Avinu represents all of Chesed, correct? So there are many aspects of Chesed. There's Bikur Cholim, there's Halvoyas Hameis, there's Havo Hashom. There are a lot of different aspects of Chesed. Tzedakah and Chesed is all different kinds of things. But I don't know if we ever took a step back to figure out why it is that Achnasas Orchim is that which defines Avraham Avinu. That's the third thing. And the final thing I'd like to bring to your attention is page 6. This is something we say multiple times over the course of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, maybe dozens of times, and we say it during the year as well. We say the Avinu Malkenus. So there was a, you should just know, this is an important joke. We had a Baruch Hashem, we had a great Zuchus. I grew up in Baltimore in a Satmar Shtibel. The Rebbe of our Shtibel was sent by the Satmar Rav to Baltimore after the Holocaust. He lost his whole family. He came to Baltimore and he rebuilt. His name was Rav Amram Taub, Zichron Levracha. He was a very special man. So in my family, we used to go Duchen in the front. There was an older Yid, an altar Yid, Rabbi Fisher. And when we used to go Duchen, he used to tell us jokes. The kids, he used to tell jokes to the Kohanim. That was his thing. He always had a joke. So one Yontif, the joke was he wanted to know how many Avinu Malkenos there were. So we counted them up. There were like 26. So we said there are 26 or 28, whatever it was, Avinu, 50, whatever it was, Avinu Malkenos. He said, "No, there's only one Avinu Malkeno." So I never forget, Rabbi Fisher, all of us, shalom. So we say the Avinu Malkenos every single davening, and the last one we tend to sing it out loud, and it's beautiful. We ask the Rabbono Shel Olam, Chonenu va'anenu, have mercy on us, give us a freebie, answer us. Ki'im banu ma'asim, l'maisa, we got nothing in the bank. Could you do us a favor? Asei imanu, do for us tzedakah v'chesed. Do for us tzedakah, which will translate improperly now as charity, v'chesed, and kindness, and save us. What is the difference? What is tzedakah and chesed? Because I would think that these two are synonymous. Tzedakah means charity, doing good things, doing nice things, and chesed is also doing nice things.
Said it justly.
Oh.
You know, just fairly, and then we say that's not going to work. So.
Very good. Excellent. So you're right. Well, let's take that further in a little bit. The notion of tzedakah miloshon tzedek. Yes, absolutely. So let's hold. Can we hold that thought on the back burner for the moment? You won't forget it. Okay. So I think maybe to take a perspective on these four issues. First of all, why it's Magen Avraham. Second of all, we wonder why it is that the Briso Shel Avraham Avinu has anything to do with Chesed. The third issue, which is why Avraham Avinu is so intimately connected with Hachnasas Orchim. And the last issue, the issue of Tzedakah and Chesed, maybe it can be enlightened with the following. Take a look on page 7. There is a Perek of Tehillim, which is Mizmor Peites, 89. Maskil le'esan ha'ezrachi. A maskil is some type of song for Eisan ha'ezrachi. Eitan ha'ezrachi. What does he say? Chaste Hashem olam ashira. The goodness, the chesed, the kindness of God, I will forever sing. L'dor v'dor odia emunasecha b'fi. From generation to generation, I will proclaim your faith, my faith in you, or your faith in me, that's a separate discussion, in my mouth. Why? Ki amarti, because I have said, olam chesed yibaneh. The world is built with kindness. Olam chesed yibaneh. Says the Medrash Tehillim, also known as the Shochar Tov. Take a look on page 8. Says the Shochar Tov on this Medrash. Lachach Omar Eson, Chazde Hashem, Omru Le'eson, they said to Eson, Al Maha Olam Omeid. They said to Eson, to this figure, we'll try to figure out who that is in a moment. Al Maha Olam Omeid, on what does the world stand? Omar Lahem, he responded to them, Ki Amarti, I have said, Eson says, Olam Chesed Yibaneh. The world stands on kindness. Af Shamayim Tachin, V'lo Shamayim Belvad El Af Hakisei. Not only the earth, but the heavens, and also the heavenly throne. They all stand on Chesed, says the Medrash Tehillim in the name of Eson. Mashal Amoha Dover Doma, what's this like? Next line. Imagine Doma Lakisei Sheish Lo Arba Raglayim. It's as if you had a chair. And it has four legs. V'ya Echad Mitmotet. And one of them was wobbling. It was falling down. Notal Tzror, you take a stone. V'samcho, and you hold it up, you prop it up. Kacha yakise shol maila kiviyachol mismotit. Achasamcho HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The heavenly throne was rickety. Until what? Until God held it up with a special stone. What's that? U'bamesamcho b'chesed. Havei. It's chesed. Olam chesed yibane. This is the secret. Olam chesed yibane. What does that mean? So Rav Yitzchak Kuttner Zecher Tzadik Levracha, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of Chaim Berlin for many years, he gave a series of lectures of Ma'amorim, which were compiled by students, and they are entitled Pachad Yitzchak. So I'd like to share with you, this is the volume of the Pachad Yitzchak on Shabbos and Sukkot, if you ever come across this. Fantastic Biurim. So in his Pachad Yitzchak, he has a kuntris called Yerach Ho'esanim. Kuntris Yerach Ha'isanim, which is a mamar which he spoke in Chag HaSukkos, Tafshin Yud Beis, which is close to 60 years ago, 58 years ago. 1942. So in 1942, Rav Huttner tackled this mimer of Eisan HaEzrachi, of Mizmor Peites, and he said the following insight. What does it mean, Olam Chesed Yibaneh? So he says the following. 52. Sorry. 52. Whereas normally, the way that we interact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the midos which exist in the world, exist post-creation. Hashem interacts with us in the context of the world in which we live. We're in the world, that's the way He interacts with us. He says, but there's something different. The way that God relates to us in the realm of Chesed, says Rav Huttner, that's different. It's misgala lanu be'etzem ho'avoda shel hishavus habriya. Chesed isn't post facto. The method, the connection of Chesed, that is the creation of the world. That is Hishavas HaBriya. Olam Chesed Yibaneh means this concept of Chesed, that is the tool with which Hashem actually created the world. Everything else, all the other midos of Hashem, of Gevura, of Tiferes, all different kinds of midos, those are all post facto. The notion of Chesed is one of Yetzira. So who is going to be the one to create? Says source 9, says the Medrash. Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Tzav. Who is this mysterious figure of Eisan HaEzrachi? Maybe he's Eisan who lived in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, but the Gemara says, no, Eisan, says the Medrash Rabbah. Eisan, who is Eisan? Eisan HaEzrachi, says Avram Avinu. Al Shem, Maskil LaEisan HaEzrachi. Who personifies the Midah of Chesed? It's Avram Avinu. So he says, Ki Amarti, because I say, Olam Chesed Yiboneh. So says Rav Huttner, Avram Avinu is not in the realm of the regular life. He is in the realm of the creative aspect of life. That is the mahus of Avram Avinu. He is Hikilas Bahikiris Boru. Who was the one who created the notion of monotheism? It was Avram Avinu. So Avram Avinu is not just one of the Avos. He is qualitatively different because the notion of Chesed is qualitatively different. It's not a state of being. It's a state of creation. It's the creative element of Avram Avinu. This is what Rav Huttner explains is why Avram Avinu is the paradigm of Chesed, but he is also the paradigm of the creation. It is the Bria Bis Mikavon Shin Nesiv HaChesed, who are Nesiv Asher Olav Tzoado HaBria Bis Avusa. That's the creative aspect. That is why Avram Avinu is associated with the Nesiv HaChesed, with the path of kindness. So now if we go back, we understand that Avram Avinu is the Yotzer. He represents the notion of creation of the world. So if you're going to finish Magen Avos, you're not going to get the sense of the beginnings. What's the shorish of everything? You're right, the Avos HaKadoshim in their entirety, they gave us, as it were, the DNA of the future of the Jewish people. But there's something which is different about the DNA that we got from Avram Avinu. It's the qualitative difference of the aspect of creativity. It's the notion of creation. It's that Hashem, at the first spark, had this notion, we don't know why, of being meitiv, of creating the world. That stems from Chesed. So Avram Avinu is the first one to bring out that spark in our life. So Avram Avinu is the Av of creation, of Chesed. Olam Chesed Yibaneh, says Eisan HaEzrachi. That's why we conclude Magen Avraham. Maybe now we can appreciate, maybe, suggestion, why it is that a child at a bris is inducted into the briso shel Avram Avinu. Because the briso shel Avram Avinu, the bris of Chesed, is a creative concept. You're creating a new child. It's not a person when they're bar mitzvah that existed already, that we're just taking to the next level. The bris is the induction of the child into the world. Now he is a bar kayama. Now he is a member of the Jewish people. So what does it mean to be created? What does it mean to be created? Says Avram Avinu, Olam Chesed Yibaneh. So the notion of Briso Shel Avram Avinu for a child is like a new world is being created. Every child, every person, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, is an Olam Mole. That's why Nivra Adam Yechidi. Every person is an entire world. So when a person is born, it's like the whole world was born again. And how was the world born? Olam Chesed Yibaneh, the world was born out of kindness. So Chesed is associated with the beginnings of the life of every person. It gets there right from the beginning, because that's returning to the stage of Avram Avinu. And now we can understand the Chashivas of, specifically of Hachnasas Orchim. Take a look on page 9, 10. Here the Gemara has all of the appellations, all of the great comments regarding Achnosas Orchim. You could take a look at it. It's like Hashkamas Beis Hamidrash. It's like Achbolas Bnei Hashchina. All these things. Why is that? So I have here a volume, a newly published volume of the essays, the discourses of Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik of Boston and from YU, called Abraham's Journey. And I never noticed this until I read the piece here. It actually, the notion of Achnosas Orchim comes up 3 times in the book, where Rav Soloveitchik points out that Achnasas Orchim is qualitatively different than every other Chesed. And that's why Avraham Avinu excelled in it, because it is the paradigm of Chesed. He touches on this 3 times in the book. I'll share 2 pieces of it with you. two insights from Rav Soloveitchik. The first one, he says, is what's the difference between Achnasas Orchem and every other chesed? He says, qualitatively, it's different because of its type of persistence. He discusses that's why Yitzchak and Rivka, the test for Rivka was in the persistence of chesed, not just to give meat, but also to give the camels, also to give the lodging. When someone comes to your home, Achnasas Orchem is an opportunity. It differs from tzedakah. I'll quote it to you. Achnasas Orchem differs from tzedakah or material help to others in a crucial way. When one gives tzedakah, it demonstrates sympathy, but not a philosophy of a human quality, holding that all Jews are b'nei malachim, princes, regardless of differences in wealth or knowledge. Hachnasas Orchem, however, demonstrates full human equality, the fact that every being has his own dignity and is just as important as any other. Number one, so when you welcome someone into your home, you're treating them as an equal. Number two, he says in the other piece, which I didn't read to you, you're giving them a persistent help. When someone comes to your door and you write them a check, it takes 5 seconds, they're out. When you invite someone into your home, so they're staying with you. You know, today, I think it's less, though, than it used to be. But I was reading in the biography of the late Boston Rebbetzin, the previous Boston Rebbetzin, what it was like in the Boston Rebbe's home in Boston in the 1950s, the type of Achnasas Orchem, the people that stayed with him for weeks on end. So there's a notion of this persistence. But even with us today, when someone comes to my home, especially a stranger, so it's not just I feed them for 5 seconds, I feed them, and then I have to give them a snack later on. I have to make sure that their bed is made. I have to wake them up in the morning, drive them to Shacharis. Achnasas Orchem is a continuous process. It's not a one-shot deal. And finally, and I think to me this was the most powerful, Achnasas Orchem is the highest level of chesed, says the Rav later in the book, in 196. Again, this is in Abraham's journey. He singles out three more reasons for Achnasas Orchem. This is one of the great things about reading Rav Soloveitchik's in his own words. You read words, you don't have a clue what they mean. He says, you probably know what they mean, but I don't know what they mean. There are three reasons for singling out Achnasas Orchem as the central virtue in Abraham's axiological hierarchy. That means it's important. So the first one, and this is the last one I want to mention, in addition to the notion of persistence and equality, the one I want to pick up from here is the difficult and uncomfortable state of Achnasas Orchem. He says, we let a stranger into our house. His mannerisms are odd. His speech is foreign. He eats differently. It's crude and vulgar. His opinions are strange, and he intrudes upon our privacy. So Avraham Avinu, he says, he sacrificed on the altars of his comfort, his nobility, the happiness of an intimate private life with his beloved Sarah. He invited everyone to his tent, no matter how vulgar the guest was and how difficult to tolerate. So Achnasas Orchem is giving the chesed, giving up of our most private possession, which is ourselves, our personal space. Imagine once you wake up in the middle of the night, you run into the bathroom, you forgot to brush your teeth, you're brushing your teeth, all of a sudden you look, Ribono Shalom, somebody else's toothbrush, Rachmono Litzlan, you go nuts. You can't get up in the middle of the night, you know, the wife is running out, she's covering her hair, she's putting this on, that on, because there are people in the house. When there are people in your house, when you're a Machnas Orchem, it intrudes upon your personal space. So says the Rav in multiple places and multiple levels. This is why Avraham Avinu personified Gemilas Chasadim. Because Gemilas Chasadim is the highest form of... Achnasas Orchem is the highest form of Gemilas Chasadim. And to the last point, page 11... The Gemara distinguishes, as we pointed out before, between tzedakah and chesed. This pasuk is working off a pasuk in Mishlei. The Gemara is working off a pasuk in Mishlei of Rodev tzedakah v'chesed yimtza chayim tzedakah v'chavod. But the previous pasuk of b'chesed v'emes yechupar avon, the Gemara defines chesed zu gemilas chasadim. So the Gemara defines for us, we want to know what these terms are, tzedakah and chesed. So chesed is active gemilas chasadim. But what about tzedakah? So take a look on page 12. I did a hatchet job on the Chorev, so you actually have two pages that are back-to-back, but they look like they're the same. They're actually, 427 is the back of one, and then 428 is the front of one, 428 is the back. This is Rav Hirsch in his first piece in Chorev on the section of Tzedakah and Gemilas Chasadim. So he points out that, I'm sorry, I don't know,
fine gentleman?
Dr. Chaseman.
Dr. Chaseman, you pointed out already before what Rav Hirsch and others are about to point out in terms of the word tzedakah being related to the word tzedek. Right. The proper, the just. I once heard from Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Tversky, Dr. Shia Tversky on a shir. He pointed out that from one of the Rebbes, I forget who it was, one of the Hasidisha Rebbes, who pointed out that the notion of tzedakah is the appropriate distribution of wealth. One of the Rebbes who gave away tons of charity, so his wife was, you know, it's a Rachmanis, they have nothing in the house. He said, look, I'm just here to do tzedakah. Tzedakah is Hashem wants me to do the just distribution of wealth. Some people have a lot, some people have a little bit, so it's our mitzvah to help redistribute that which is in the pocket, which has a lot, to the pocket which has a little. So Rav Hirsch points out that the name tzedakah, and I'm on the top of the right-hand column, but I put the whole thing, you can read it later. You're doing your duty as a human being and as a Jew to remain a pure servant of Hashem in the fact that you give tzedakah. Now, just one important caveat. The word tzedakah in Tanakh very often does mean proper actions. Actions as well as charity. But in the colloquial sense, tzedakah is referred to as justice in terms of giving out what you own. So you can take a look at it later. It's a beautiful piece here from Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, who points out that the notion of giving up of yourself is right, it's tzedek, because it's not really ours. Who gave it to us? The Ribbono Shel Olam gave it to us. So he gave it to us, and he told us, okay, be a responsible guardian for this money and give it to other people. But turn the page, a little bit later, says Rav Hirsch, but higher, incomparably higher than tzedakah, which he defines as financial and material charity, stands gemilas chasonim, good works. In tzedakah, you give away your worldly goods, your wealth. In gemilas chasadim, you place on God's sacred altar all the best and noblest you have. It's everything. Your judgment, your word, your strength, your deeds, your entire personality for the good of your brethren. So we understand now, when we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for tzedakah and chesed, we ask Him to do one level, the first level, which is tzedakah. There's something that might be magia. If you know Alpidin, there is some level of almost, and it does, you have to be careful about this, almost a level of entitlement. Certain aniyim have, or maybe the shevet, the concept of aniyim, have an entitlement, a claim, a monetary claim on certain aspects of money. Whether it's certain matanos that belong to the aniyim when you live in Israel, giving particular tithes, or other types of matanos, that they almost have a shibud on them. The Gemara in Bava Basra seems to hint that there might be a shibud nechasim that they have. So there's an element of tzedakah.
Shibud nechasim meaning?
That means there's, literally, it's a property lien. But not literally a property lien, but in certain cases, if a person were to set aside an appropriate amount of money that were to go to the poor people, then they would, on some level, not one particular pauper, but the shevet aniyim, the community of paupers, bechlal, they would have some kind of claim on that. That relates to tzedek. That's the right thing. That's a transaction. Chesed is not transactional. It's transformative. It's about you as a person. That's what Rav Hirsch is saying. And this is why when we ask the Ribbono Shel Olam, we say tzedakah v'chesed, the much higher level. So the notion that Avraham Avinu is the Baal of chesed, it fits perfectly because the notion of chesed is this transformative, complete creative process. It's not just tzedakah. How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world? Not with tzedakah, but with chesed. Olam chesed yibaneh. Because chesed is this entire transformation of the person. As Rav Hirsch points out, it's the entire personality. Maybe once we can conclude with these last two points. Rav Meir Tversky, one of the Rosh Yeshiva at YU, is actually coming in a couple of weeks to Chicago for our Kol Yom Rishon program on Sunday morning, in the Sunday morning of Thanksgiving, of Shabbos Chanukah, December 13th. So he's coming. He once pointed out that we don't refer to somebody as an Ose Chesed. You refer to them as a Baal Chesed. A Baal Chesed, a person of Chesed, because it transforms, as Rav Hirsch says, your entire personality. That's what Chesed is about. So I promised you I would end with a story. So another story, not from Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, but from Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. I remember at the Shloshim for Rav Aaron, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, his grandson got up and told an unbelievable story that related to Rav Aaron's incredible chesed, incredible power of chesed. Look, I didn't have even a shmek of a shmek of what your Morat Asra had a shaykhus of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, but I will say I once had the great schus of carrying him down the stairs in YU, because he used to come and I used to go listen to his shir on Thursdays, and when he was, it must have been the last year or two when he came, he used to carry him from this car to the thing, and I once had the privilege to carry him down the stairs with one other guy. It was something, you know, you never forget that for your whole life. So his grandson, Shmuley Marcus, told us, he said, that there was once a boy who lived in the neighborhood, it could be someone who's known, it was a boy who lived in the neighborhood who was lost in the morning. His mother came downstairs into the house and she couldn't find the child. And the neighbors were frantic and they were looking all over because this boy, Nebuch, was a developmentally disabled boy, so he couldn't function all by himself, taking care of himself. And who knows what happened to him? He wandered out on the street somewhere, and who knows what. So the parents were frantic, and someone apparently spoke to Rebbetzin Soloveitchik, Aleha Shalom, and she happened to be out doing some errand in the morning. She came back, and who's in the house? Rav Aaron Zecher Tzadik Levracha, and this boy are sitting at the kitchen table eating breakfast. So she asked him, what happened? So Rav Aaron said he was on his way back from Shachris, and he saw this boy wandering in the street. So he picked him up. He didn't know exactly where he was from or who he was. But he brought him home. He figured he would be machnis oreach to give him some breakfast until they could figure out exactly what was needed. So this is one small example of a person who literally was an ish chesed. And there are so many more examples. But the notion of chesed, that it permeates our life. And it literally, it's a creative, transformative process. It's olam chesed yibona. It builds the world. It doesn't just sustain it. It actually builds it and recreates us. It's something that can inspire us, first of all, in the kehilah, because I know it's very exciting that you're starting a new chesed program here in the shul. But in terms of all of us, to inspire ourselves to take chesed, especially on a day like this, a day like Thanksgiving, when we have an opportunity to step back and to appreciate what we have on so many levels, to give it back, to turn it into a creative process to build the chesed world, which we are trying to build. Thank you so much. Okay, everyone is invited to head over when you come to the Chicago Chesed Fund Warehouse.